Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So Catherine Rampell, economics reporter for the New York Times, wrote this piece looking into a recent observation that her iPhone has slowed down considerably since upgrading the operating system. The slowdown might be a purposeful nudge from Apple. Hers is the most emailed piece on the Times website this morning. Are you surprised? Perhaps because it's such a familiar issue to many people with Apple products. Catherine Rampell, welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be here.
So give me the quick version of what you suspect may have happened to your iPhone.
So what I have heard from talking with tech experts who know far more about the hardware and software than I do is that the new operating system, along with a lot of other software upgrades, is basically designed with the capabilities of the newest hardware in mind. That is, you know, the faster processors that you can get if you buy an iPhone 5S, for example. And a result of that is that the software is very taxing on older models of phones like the iPhone 4 and the iPhone 4S, which slows them down and also draws down the battery faster. So the question is that deliberate? On Apple's part, you know, as a lot of conspiracy theorists believe, you know, no accident that that Apple's products start to function worse, I guess, around the time that an upgrade happens, or is it just a side effect of Apple's commitment to innovation in the software, again, that takes advantage of faster processors? And it's very hard to infer motive here, you know, without knowing actually what the memos within Apple say.
And many listeners may be clenching their teeth right now, or maybe their fists, thinking about software upgrades that they can't get until they pay to get a newer operating system, but they can't back up their files until they have the newest operating system, and it's a trap that you cannot get out of. What's the end game?
You know, the question that I've been wrestling with is, what does economic theory say that Apple should be doing if it were acting in its own self-interest? And, you know, what would be the most strategic thing for Apple to do? Is it to force people to upgrade, you know, to force them to buy new phones if they already have phones that they thought until recently were functioning perfectly fine? Or would that actually drive away too many customers because they would feel betrayed by Apple's treatment of their loyal customer base? And it's really unclear. It depends on your view of the market. How competitive is the smartphone market? Do consumers believe that they have good substitutes available in the high-end smartphone category? You know, and reasonable people can disagree about that. Is you know, the latest Samsung release, for example, you know, the equivalent to an iPhone, are people willing to switch? Are they too committed to the brand? Are they too committed to the apps that they've already purchased that are compatible with iPhones but not with other operating systems? And it's a very open question, I think. And I feel like a lot of the coverage of these questions about planned obsolescence and whether Apple is engaging in it has this tone that, well, obviously yes or obviously no. And I think the answer is not at all obvious without being able to, you know, get whatever secret strategy the famously secretive company has adopted.
And this isn't a new trick. It's a very old one. In fact, one of the interesting things to me in your article that I did not know was that during the Great Depression, it was suggested that the government should put fake expiration dates on products so the public would have to buy more just to get consumer spending up. I mean, we'd never have to buy a new dishwasher if dishwashers lasted forever, right? So does Apple get singled out right now by you because they're Apple when a lot of companies do this and this is kind of a common thing?
I think the reason why Apple gets singled out, not only by me, by but by a lot of journalists and a lot of angry consumers, is that Apple is a major player. Like I said, you know, your view of whether they would be incentivized to actually participate in planned obsolescence depends on how much market power you think it has. And Apple has certainly more market power than a lot of other tech companies out there. You know, the same kinds of suspicions have been raised about Microsoft when Microsoft was, you know, sort of the 800-pound gorilla. They've been raised about auto companies. They've been raised about video game manufacturers. And I think the reason why suspicions tend to land on one company or another, when theoretically any company that makes durable goods, for example, could be participating in this strategy, is that you suspect the companies that have the most market power and therefore could get away with it.
Now, there's a pushback piece on Gizmodo right now. One of our listeners linked to it on our comments page, and we looked at it saying, this isn't a trap from Apple. Quote, technology becomes obsolete. Batteries don't last forever. That's not exclusively Apple's problem, nor is it exclusively Apple's fault. And the only thing busting your phone is the steady march of progress. Did you see that yet?
I did. A lot of people have sent that to me. And I think that gets back to a criticism that I've heard a lot, which is, well, of course your phone is going to die at some point. But you know what? The interesting thought experiment to do here is why do we expect that a phone is only going to last 2 years when a dishwasher lasts decades? You know, companies have to make these trade-offs between the longevity of their products and how often they are going to upgrade and make new innovations available, and how much that's going to cost consumers and what are consumers willing to pay for. It's absolutely true that there's been a lot of progress and innovation since I bought my original iPhone 4, and I think that's good for social welfare. The question is, should it be forcing basically a deterioration of my older product? You know, my older product should look bad, yes, in comparison to the new models that become available. Where I think it becomes a little bit more irksome is when it becomes lower quality in comparison to itself just a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
And I think that there are a lot of consumers who are very frustrated with a slowdown in their phones that, again, is not just in comparison. It's not just that it's slower compared to the 5S. It's slower in comparison to itself a month ago, and they were not warned that that would be the case.
And I guess that maybe invalidates the stat that I was going to cite, which is that people are adopting the latest Apple operating system, iPhone operating system, the fastest adoption by consumers of any version of the software, from what I've read, which is to say 72% of devices have upgraded to the new operating system. But your point is that you don't know that this is going to happen to your phone until after you do it.
Right. I mean, certainly I was not aware when iOS 7 came out that – I mean, I knew it was optimized for the new technology. I didn't realize that it was going to make my old phone basically unusable, which is what happened. And if you look at, you know, angry comment boards across the internet, I mean, people get angry about everything, but you'll see that this is a very common complaint, that people didn't realize that the upgrade was going to degrade the quality of their experience. You know, and I think if Apple were transparent about that, or maybe they were transparent, I just didn't know, and they didn't make a big stink about it. I don't know.
So,
I think if people knew ahead of time what that trade-off was, okay, you can get AirDrop, you can get these new photo filters, whatever, but the sacrifice you'll have to make is that your phone is much slower.
And we have to leave it there because we are flat out of time. But folks, now you know, from Catherine Rampell, New York Times economics correspondent. That's the number one email piece on the Times site right now. Catherine, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And listeners, talk to you tomorrow.